Earlier this year, KMOX's Megan Lynch did a week-long series on carnival rides and theme park rides, and found that they're not really the safest. And then, of course, we had that story just a few months ago in Kentucky at the Six Flags there, where a 13-year-old girl named Caitlin Lassiter was riding the Tower of Power, and cable broke and snapped and whipped around her legs and cut her feet off. They were able to get one foot back on, but the other one was too damaged to save. And now Elizabeth Williamson from the Washington Post has written about them in a terrific story that was published today in the paper and is on WashingtonPost.com. I've invited her to join us here this afternoon and talk a little bit about this. Hi, Elizabeth. How are you?
Hey, Paul. I'm fine. Thank you for having me.
You're a mom, right?
I am a mom, yes, officially.
Now that you've done the research into these rides, would you ever take your kids to one of these traveling carnivals that comes through and let them go on the Sizzler or the roller coaster or
the
whatever
Matterhorn.
Else? Yeah, whatever else they've got there?
I can tell everyone's got their favorite. you know, it's funny because as a kid, I just love these rides, and there's no ride I wouldn't go on, and even into adulthood. But, you know, like many other Americans, I really didn't know what the situation was. So I think I would have to think twice about it.
Yeah. Every year when the St. Louis County Carnival, St. Louis County Fair has a big carnival there, my daughter looks forward to it on Labor Day weekend. And we always go out there, and there are certain rides she really looks forward to. But after hearing some of these stories, like the ones that you had in your piece today, it made me swallow really hard in thinking about, you know, here's the most precious person in my life, and I'm putting him in the hands of, you know. Here's what my problem was, Elizabeth. I, like most Americans, thought, well, they couldn't have these rides out there unless they were inspected and they were safe. Okay. And nothing could be further from the truth, right?
Yes, yes. Unfortunately, that's true. There, you know, while the risk is presumably really low that anything would happen to your children on one of these rides, actually, we don't really know, because there is no comprehensive source for injury statistics. There's no place where a consumer can go to check a park's injury record, its safety record. So while we think that it's really low, actually that information that the risk is low is coming from the industry itself and not from any outside objective observer.
When you say the industry itself, have politicians decided to let these guys police themselves?
Theme parks and amusement parks have no federal regulation. That job is left to the states. And so what has happened over the years, and in the very beginning, they were policed by the Consumer Product Safety Commission. But through lobbying and through efforts in Washington, they exempted themselves. They managed to push for legislation that was passed sort of tucked into an 800-page budget bill in which they exempted themselves from federal oversight, and they've worked hard to maintain that exemption ever since.
They exempted themselves. That's exactly how lobbying works in this country. The companies that have all the money want to protect themselves. They get politicians in their pockets to write laws that protect them, and the consumer be damned.
Well, in this case, they made a case that amusement parks and big theme parks are better off regulating themselves or better off being regulated by the states. But the states that host these parks, I mean, one could argue that there's a vested interest. The state of Florida, for example, is a theme park rich state that has more theme parks than any other state in the union, and yet those theme parks are absolutely exempt even from state oversight.
Wait a second. You mean that somebody wants to go to Disney World, and you hear about Disney World as one of the top travel destinations in America, and you would think, okay, well, there certainly has to be somebody who's checking to make sure these things are going. And even without a federal inspector being able to come on the premises, you're telling me no state or municipal inspector goes in there and checks it either?
That's correct. They police themselves entirely. Under an agreement reached with the state of Florida Department of Agriculture, the biggest parks define that is parks with 1,000-plus employees. They are not required to have any form of state inspection. In fact, the state inspectors can only enter the park when they're invited by the park itself, by Disney, by Busch, by Universal. And that is limited to one time a year, and they come in for a discussion of safety procedures. They don't look at the equipment, and it's strictly hands-off. They do not inspect, the inspectors say, because they have no authority under the law.
Even if there was an inspection, these parks know they're coming. It's not a surprise.
Oh, no. In fact, it's an invited event. There are invitations done. It's planned months in advance. The agenda is set by the parks themselves. What the inspectors will be allowed to see is established by the parks themselves, and there are minutes written up afterward to show what everybody saw, and everybody agrees on what they saw and the presentation that was given.
Now, if there are things that are going wrong at these parks, how would we ever know?
You wouldn't, unless the park chooses to tell you.
And why would they do that?
Well, they're really... That is what ride safety activists say. You know, there's really no incentive for them to tell you. And as a matter of fact, when you're talking about Disney, there were court records that I received in the course of my reporting this story that pointed to thousands of injuries that if it weren't for this court case and a judge forcing them to disclose these injury logs, we would have never known about. Now, these were injuries that ranged from very minor things, a nosebleed, a bump on the head, a chipped tooth, on up to potentially life-threatening injuries.
This is News Talk 1120 KMOX. I'm Paul Harris talking with Elizabeth Williamson from the Washington Post, who has written an expose in today's paper about ride safety. When you take your kid to a theme park or through one of those traveling carnivals that comes through for the county fair or for some local fundraiser for a church or whatever it is, you probably have thought to yourself, gee, I don't know if I want to really trust my kid's life to the hands of this guy over here who frankly doesn't seem to be paying attention. And that's part of the equation here as well, isn't Elizabeth? The people who are there operating these rides?
Yeah, the traveling carnival rides are ostensibly overseen by the Consumer Product Safety Commission. They do have jurisdiction over traveling carnival rides, but that's when you start to get into the constraints that that the agency is under. They've got fewer than 90 inspectors and investigators in the field, and they aren't able often to get to an accident site before the ride has been dismantled, and it's much more difficult for them to tell what happened.
So these companies that take these carnivals from town to town all across the country, there's no one who's going and saying, okay, before you go, we're going to give you, even if it's not a monthly or quarterly, you've got to have an annual inspection of your equipment and show us that everything is safe. That does not happen?
A lot of states do that. They do inspect the equipment, and when a carnival comes to town, either a local authority or the state will send people out and inspect. But if something goes wrong on the ride, determining what happened to the accident, some states don't require that there be an inspection. Some states require that the carnival's own insurance company inspect, for example, or the carnival itself. Issue some sort of a voucher saying that the ride is safe and that it's functioning properly. So it's really sort of all over the map. And so that means that when you do go to a carnival in a given state, you're really not sure who's looked at the rides, whether they've been looked at all, and what might happen if there were a malfunction.
And just because it might be looked at in Illinois, it could come across the river here to Missouri, and we would have no idea.
Yeah, in fact, that's a big problem among state regulators because they'll say, okay, look, we'll come in. There was an accident, and this has happened. There'd be an accident in one state. They'll come in. They'll take a look. They'll say, this ride was improperly maintained. It was improperly put together. There was negligence here. The ride is dismantled. It moves on, and then they can't figure out where it went. And that has happened with this Sizzler ride in 1997. There was an accident in Las Vegas in which a toddler was killed. They issued the Clark County, which has jurisdiction over rides in Nevada or in Las Vegas. Required that this ride be stopped until seatbelts were installed. But then the next thing they knew, the ride was gone, and nobody knew where it went.
It makes me wonder how much money they're making. If communities aren't saying you're not coming to town, or did you find communities that said no more?
There are some regulators that are very strict. For example, the state of Massachusetts. As soon as there was a recommendation after 10 years worth of accidents and at least 5 deaths involving this one ride called the Sizzler, the state of Massachusetts, whose chief regulator is the head of a voluntary group of about 25 state regulators, wrote to the company and said, we would like you to recommend that this ride include seatbelts because there's an unacceptable level of ejections with this ride. So in that particular state, once the recommendation was made, that has the force of law, but that's not true in neighboring states. So that regulator said, okay, so in the state of Massachusetts, we can require that this ride have a seatbelt, and then we'll limit the ejection risks when that ride is operating in our state. But what this man, Mark Mooney, said and predicted was, the carnival will move, and they'll all end up in Vermont, which doesn't have any such requirements.
Yeah, exactly what I was saying before. They just pick it up. You know, they got wheels on those things. They just take it down the highway to the next town or the next state, and there needs to be more attention paid to this. Well, hopefully Megan's series this year and your piece today in the Post, Elizabeth, will bring some of that spotlight to it and wake up. This is a terrible thing to say, but maybe the only way to get this changed is to have some big politician's kid get hurt.
Yeah, unfortunately, I've had lobbyists tell me up on Capitol Hill that each of these accident victims is a constituency of one, and that's just not enough to make change. I also wanted to congratulate you on your series there. I thought you folks did a terrific job.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much. Elizabeth Williamson from The Washington Post here on The Paul Harris Show. I'll put a link to her article on my website, harrisonline.com. This is News Talk 1120 KMOX.